that's going to be wrought. Amen? Amen? Amen. You hungry for the word here today? I told you to go over there to Psalm 100, and we are going to be, we're calling this message here today, the power of praise. How many of you got the text last night? Yeah, many of you did, and you're ready, and our worship team was on board. We are doing a lot of praising today. Amen? We have to understand the power of praise. Listen, never forget this. A silent Christianity is a powerless Christianity. There is no such thing. I'm going to really upset some theologies here today. There is no such thing in the Bible as quiet Christianity or silent Christianity. There is a voice of redemption that God requires.
Amen.
There needs to be something coming out of our mouth and responding and rejoicing. Amen. And I'll tell you what, today we're going to look at the benefits, first of all and foremost, the benefit, how it ministers to the Lord, but also how it blesses our lives.
Amen.
Amen. How God has given us praise. He's put praise in our heart that is supposed to come out of our mouth, and it produces things in the atmosphere around us. It causes the earth to yield her increase. Amen. It causes us to rejoice, and it causes our faith to be alive and vital and active. How many of you want a living, active, vital faith?
Yeah.
All right. It's going to be responsive. Maybe if you're just new to this church and you come in here and you think, well, my goodness, this church is very vocal. There's a lot of shouting and praising. Welcome to church. Because I'll tell you what, the devil has convinced the church in America to become too quiet and has tried to silence our praise. Well, of course he would, because that's where the power's at.
Yes, right.
Our speaking, our declaration, our praising, our rejoicing. Amen. Glory to God. We can't let him, we can't let the devil get us quiet in these things. And we've been talking about lately, I've been talking about the significance of being in the presence of the Lord. And I told you that I would teach along the lines of how to get in to the presence of the Lord. First and foremost, we talked about that God's presence is always manifested through faith.
Yes.
All right, we took a look at Enoch, and we saw how he walked with God by faith. We saw that he came to God. He must believe that he is.
Yes.
And I told you, when you go into your prayer time or when you spend time with God, I dare you, first and foremost, tell him all the things that you know he is.
That's right.
He is Savior, He is healer, He is provider, He is protector, He is faithful, He is strong, He is your joy. I mean, just, you know, you hear me pray like that, and when you do that, you're inflating faith. And God, when we realize that the presence of God is about God, so often we just come to God to just petition Him for things that we want. Now, yes, God wants us to pray and petition Him and supplicate and request and ask Him for things. He wants us to do that. But sometimes we think that that's the first and foremost and only thing we do in prayer. No, the presence of God is about God.
Yes.
Boast upon Him, exalt Him, and you will understand, you will move into His presence in a greater way.
Yes.
The second thing we were talking about, we talked about last week and then this past Wednesday night, is crucifying the flesh. And it was real quiet in here last Sunday. And it was real quiet in here Wednesday, you know, because it's not a fun topic to talk about putting the flesh under. And we talked about things you can do. The Bible says those that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions.
Yes.
We saw over there in Romans 8:13 that through the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the flesh. And we talked about if your flesh is always told yes, meaning if you always just let it do what it wants to do, when it wants to do it, then, you know, it will grow. That thing will get strong, and, you know, you'll have an undisciplined flesh that's going to try to lead you into a bad place. No, we talked about real practical things. Putting your flesh under when it comes to diet. You can't feed your flesh everything that it wants to eat whenever it wants to eat. We talked about fasting and taking some practical time to skip a meal here and there and pray. Imagine that. You know, and we talked about how that isn't being preached in America today. We're just a fast food society. Just give it to me now. It's got to be my way. Every little inclination of the flesh. Well, I tell you what, if you don't learn to put your flesh under in diet, it might cause you big trouble when the big attack comes, when the big temptation comes. The temptation to cheat on your spouse, the temptation to look at something on the computer that you shouldn't. What are you going to do if your flesh is always used to saying, you know, always used to having whatever it wants? Fasting is not a way to change God. Fasting is a way to change you. It is a way of you saying, flesh, you're going to go without so that my spirit can go with. All right, so we talked about that. If you weren't here Wednesday, you need to get on our archives and you need to watch that service, okay? And now here's the third point that we're going to focus on today, that the presence of God, you get into the presence of God through praise. Praise. Amen. And really simply, praise is simply the value you put on God. The word praise is actually the root word for the term appraisal. Right? You ever heard of what is an appraisal? If you have an appraisal on a home, an appraisal on a car, or an appraisal on an antique or something like that, what are you looking for? You're looking to find the value that you place on that item. In the same way, your praise determines how valuable you think God is in your life. You know, and let me say this, and when I say this, don't let it make you mad, okay, because I've been in those shoes too. But when you sit there and you're just quiet for God and you can't bring yourself, I can't shout like that. I can't praise like that. I can't lift my hands like that. I can't, you know, dance like that. I'm not that kind of person. Well, the only reason you're not like that is because God's not worth it to you. He's not worth it to you. But when you get to a place when he's worth it to you, when you get to a place that your appraisal of him is of high value, that you don't care what people think about you. I don't care if you think I'm weird. I don't care if you think it's strange. I don't care about the opinions of man. I care about the opinion of God. And if his word tells me that he wants to be praised that way, like his word tells us he does, right? I mean, how many of you, I know I go through this. You know, I think husbands go through this. You know, when it comes, you know, birthday time, Christmas time, anniversary time, and, you know, and I hear so many people, they struggle. Oh, I don't know what my wife wants. What do I get? Well, you know, I go through that when I'm buying a gift for my mother. You know, it's easy to buy for my dad. I know, sure. You know, it's easy, guys. I mean, I could get him a knife.
Yeah, right.
He likes it. I give him some ammo. He likes it. You know, give him a gun or something manly, you know what I mean? And it's very simple, you know, but I mean, I struggle. What does my mom like, you know, and stuff like that. And it would be so nice to have a written guide, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If someone just wrote you a book and said, you know, when you got married, all of a sudden from heaven, God gave you a little pamphlet. Just floated down, and it was the guide to making your wife happy with gifts. And y'all, she likes this. This is what she wants. Get her this for this, this for that. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome? Because you would know what she likes, and it would take a lot of pressure off us husbands. Yeah. Amen. Well, how much more when God, his book, comes floating down, and he says, I like this. I like when you lift up hands. I like when you shout praises. I like when you dance. I like when you sing. It blesses me that way. I mean, it shouldn't be, we should look at that and say, my goodness, he gave us a guide to what his heart likes. And the only thing that stands in the way is our self-consciousness. And that is exactly what it is. When we won't do those things, we are more self-conscious than we are God-conscious. My wife, you know, for my wife's birthday here just last week, there was a piece of furniture that she liked, and she sent me a picture of it, and it's tell on Pastor Tim time. I don't mean to be, guys, don't be this way, you know, and I get the picture, you know, she sends it over to me on the phone, and I'm like, ew. And my response is, you really like that? ! Telling on myself, like, you really like that? Wrong thing to say. Not that she made me pay for it or anything. But, you know, men, we have to know and understand that the home is her nest.
Yeah, right.
okay? And, you know, so she said, oh, you know, I like this. And it just happened to be right at birthday time. And so after I dealt with my critical thoughts, I know none of you have ever been there before. I was just like, you know, I just looked at it and I think, is that thing quality? I mean, it kind of, you know, I mean, is it particle board? It looks like it just kick right through it. I mean, you know, it just didn't look. I'm just telling you. I guess none of you have ever had natural thoughts ever in your life. And so I didn't rip on it as much as I'm ripping on it now. And so but she's like, well, yeah, I really like it. I really want it. You know, I'm like, oh, well, praise the Lord. Here you go. You know, happy birthday, you know. And so, but no, sometimes it's just easy. I'm relieved. My wife is like me. She doesn't like surprises as much as just here's what I really want here. So she does make it easy on me in that way, you know. And so we paid for it. And yesterday I took my truck down there, and my brother-in-law helped me load the thing up. And I was pleasantly surprised. You know, that it was nicer than I thought. And hey, this looks pretty good. And this thing's pretty high quality. And oh, praise the Lord. And so I had to eat my word. I'm telling on myself for you. Praise the Lord. And it made her so happy. You know, she liked it. I didn't understand it. It wasn't my, you know, initially, it wasn't my taste. It wasn't what I like. Listen, that's exactly what it's like when God asks you to do something. It might not be your personality. It might not be your flow. It might not be your church background. It might not be your favorite opinion. You don't want anyone to see you. You might just be, you know, someone that I'm a real private person. I like privacy, and I don't like to, you know, quote unquote, show myself in public, so to speak. But when it comes to praising and worshiping God, I do those things not because it blesses me first, but it blesses Him first. Amen. It might not be your taste, but it's God's taste. And I'll tell you what, now when we have that piece of furniture in there and it fit perfectly under, we have a flat screen TV that's mounted to the wall. And at first, one of my criticisms, that thing's too big. It's not going to fit under the TV. That's not going to work. And we get it home and it fit perfectly. Right. I looked at it. That's not going to go into the bed of my truck. That's too big. I'm going to have to get ratchet straps and all this, and I don't want to damage it. And then I get there, and it goes perfectly into my truck. And it was very nice and everything. And so we learn sometimes after the fact how it benefits our lives. Listen, yes, God needs our praise in terms, but He gives us the opportunity. I need to praise Him. I need to have that opportunity to be involved with praising God. Because now we're going to look at how not only it blesses Him, but how it blesses us. And this is how we get into the presence of God. Look at Psalm 100 and verse 4. It says, enter. Everyone say, enter.
Enter.
Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Psalm 134, verse 2 says, lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord, right? Okay, so notice what it is that blesses Him. But notice He says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. All right, well, yes, we should come to church with praising and thanksgiving and so on. But also the deeper significance of this is getting into His presence in our private time. All right, praising God will help break through the veil of the flesh.
Yes.
Come on now, sit there. And before you do anything, minister to Him, praise Him. Praise is simply telling Him how valuable He is to you, how faithful He is, how much you love Him, how thankful you are for Him and saving you. Lord, thank you for healing me. Thank you for providing for me. Father, I just praise you. I glorify you. What did Jesus teach when the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The first thing Jesus ever said, He said, hallowed. What does that mean? That means holy and righteous. He praised God first. The first thing he did is he praised, he worshiped, he honored, and he exalted. Amen. If you want to get through the veil of the flesh, if you want to get through all those thoughts that are bombarding you while you're trying to get into prayer and all the things your flesh is trying to tell you that you got to go eat or you got to go snack or you got to go do something else, well, one way you get through that is with praise. Praise. You enter in. Now go to Psalm. You're right there in the book of Psalms. Go back to Psalm 63. Yes. Psalm 63, verse 3. And now we're going to start talking about the benefits, what praise does for you, and why you need to take advantage of this opportunity to praise God. God wants to be praised, but we need to praise Him. I'm so thankful that He said, hey, praise me. Yeah, because one, He's worthy, but two, it benefits us. Glory to God. Psalm 63, verse 3 says, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Isn't God good?
Yes.
Yep. David said, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee.
Yes.
Not just my thoughts will praise thee. You know what I mean? You know, he didn't say, my silence will praise thee. My whispers, you know. No, he said, my lips will praise thee. Listen, if you believe God is, his loving kindness is better than life, something's going to come out of your mouth.
Yes,
yeah, because, here's the cause and effect relationship. Because God is so good, my lips will praise. And the only reason your lips wouldn't praise is because somewhere along the line you don't believe that. People say, and don't give me the religious talk that says, well, I have praise in my heart. You just have to take my word for it. No, I don't take your word for it because you're not in line with the Bible again. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. If you say there's praises in your heart, well, then it would come out of your mouth according to Jesus. So don't tell me that. That's just an excuse. And I know because I had a very introverted personality when it came to things in public. I just naturally, you know, I was just kind of maybe raised that way or whatever. You just don't show yourself. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, don't want anyone to see you act that way or whatever,
right.
You know? And when it comes to praising and worshiping God, it is something that I have to put my personality under.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah. Sure.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, but I believe that His loving kindness is better than life.
Yeah.
So the result of that is my lips praising.
Yeah.
That's why I say a silent Christianity is a powerless Christianity.
Right.
A quiet Christian will end up being a defeated Christian. Just never forget that. And someone who does not praise God out of their mouth will have a faith deficit. I'll guarantee it. I'm just showing you the scripture. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise. My lips will praise thee. Yeah. Well, let's look at some other scriptures here. Can you just bring up real quick Hebrews 13, 15? You know where I'm going with this. Let's just get a quick definition here from the scriptures. Stay in Psalms because I'm going to come right back there. Hebrews 13 and verse 15, the King James will work. By Him, talking about Jesus, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually.
Yes.
That is the fruit of my thoughts giving... Oh, wait. Did I read that wrong? That is the fruit of my silence. That is the fruit of my stodgy old religious ways. The fruit of my denominational past. Well, when I grew up, this is what our church did. Well, praise the Lord for your church, but listen, every church has to understand we got to do the word. This is what the scripture says, not what Pastor Tim thinks. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, just in case we're not aware, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Father, I thank You. I praise You today. Father, thank You for saving me. Thank You for healing me. Thank You for providing every need. Thank You for giving me the name of Jesus. Thank You for the shed blood that washed me and cleansed me. Thank You, Father, that I tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. Thank you, Lord. Why? Notice, it requires vocalization. We know Psalm 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord
say so.
Say so. Yes. Your redemption needs to be said.
Yes.
Your praise is only this. That is the fruit of your lips. Notice it's called the sacrifice of praise,
yes,
not the good fuzzy feeling of praise.
Right.
I don't feel like praising. I don't like that. That's not me. Well, then it's a sacrifice. You don't sacrifice something that feels good. Right? You sacrifice. You put your flesh under. You do something that you've never done before. Listen, you know, you've heard this a lot of times. If you keep doing what you've always done, you're always going to get what you've ever got. Listen, some of you need to break out, break free, break into this, and start bringing a sacrifice with you to church. But that sacrifice is continual. It's not for church only. It's also in the car. It's in your home. My wife and I, when we pray with our little boys, we always either begin or we end or whatever. Like, all right, let's praise God. And our boys just throw their hands up. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And, you know, I love the kids. They come up with some, you're the best God there is. He's the only God there is, buddy. You're the best Jesus. You're the, you know, yeah, glory to God. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. Do you believe that? Well, then something should be coming out of your mouth. It's a sacrifice of praise, and in case you couldn't put a definition on it, the Bible makes it very clear. That is, just so none of us can get confused, it's not just staying in our heart, the fruit of your lips. And then it goes one step further, telling us, giving thanks. Giving thanks. Praise the Lord. All right, back to Psalm 63 now. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Verse 4, thus will I bless the Lord while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Oh, so now it's not just your mouth anymore. Now your limbs are going to get involved. Now your body is going to move. but I just like to sit here in my seat, frozen and scared. People, you're just almost terrified for a service to get flowing. Yeah. Thus I will bless thee while I live. I'll lift up my hands in thy name. Oh, well, now you're blessing him with the words of your mouth. You're lifting up your hands and praising him. Verse 5, and now this is what happens. My soul shall be satisfied.
Amen.
As with marrow and fatness. Well, we better interpret that correctly or else no one's ever going to do it. My soul will be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Glory to God. Now notice the first benefit here that we see in the scripture, just the order in which we're finding here today. He says this, he says, my soul will be satisfied. Your soul is your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions. Never ever doubt the power that praise has to restore peace in your mind. Because as you praise God, he gets bigger, your troubles get smaller. Praise him. Praise him. Listen, there is a praise cure, not just for the body, but there's also a praise cure for the mind. If you're facing a depression, thoughts of anxiety, or an attack of fear, or whatever it is, here's your answer. This is how your soul, your mind, is filled with the power of God. Praise him. Which is the fruit of your lips giving thanks to his name.
That's right. Amen.
When you're in the midst of that attack of depression, you know, if you're facing those thoughts, if you're dealing with that anxiety or what have you, here's how you fill your mind God's way. He said it'll be filled as with marrow and fatness.
Yes.
Yeah. See, if you were Jewish in the Old Testament, you would understand what the marrow and the fatness was, okay? The marrow is the part that fills the bones. Okay, or fills out, or the life of the bones. The fatness is a reference to when they would put that fat of the animal and burn it on the altar as a sacrifice to God. And it was considered the most, succulent, the perfect sacrifice to God was the fatness.
Yes.
You do understand what makes a steak good, don't you?
Yeah.
It's a little bit of that fat in there. That's why I like a ribeye. Because there's marble. Yeah, boy, we got. Because, a steak with a little bit of marbling in there. You know what that is? That's just a fancy way of them saying there's fat in it. You don't want it completely fatty, but you need some of that because that's where the flavor is, because that's what this scripture is literally talking about, the fatness or the best part. Yeah. What's God saying? As you praise me and worship me, your mind, your soul will be filled with the best part. Praise God.
Yes.
Some people, Christians even allow their minds to be overwhelmed and overtaken with thoughts of fear. I tell you what, praise cure.
Yes.
The cure to a mind or a mental attack or mental issues. Praise.
Yeah.
Praise.
Yeah.
Praise him.
Yeah.
He says it'll be satisfied.
Yeah.
The word satisfied means to be filled to the top,
yeah.
Filled to the full. With the best part, with the marrow and the fatness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, and now you'll start to understand why some people around here just act praise crazy. They're just getting filled. Man, people are vocal. They're all in the shouting. I just can't stand this. This seems, we've had people say, I visited your church, but all that praising and shouting just seemed cult-like. You know how many people I've had tell me that? Like, we are. We're just one of those church cults. One of those Bible-believing, just willing to do what the Bible says. Do you realize this is why I put the scriptures up here?
Yeah, exactly.
People have asked me that. Why don't we have the scriptures? Well, I'll tell you why the scriptures are up here in this church. Because, unfortunately, this area has been filled with a lot of unscriptural doctrine. And when people visit this church or you're part of this church, you know that what's being preached on is strictly out of the Bible. And my opinions mean nothing, as long as the Bible, the Bible is first and foremost.
Yeah, that's right.
The opinion of man is never, never above God's opinion, the Word. So that's why I tell people, if you're ever in this church and we stop preaching the scriptures, then leave. If we build this church on my opinions or someone else's opinions, then leave. Because that's dangerous to your life.
Yes.
But what's blessing to your life is that you're challenged to actually do what God says. Because God wants to fill you with the marrow and with the fatness. Yeah, I know someone's going to go home and get on Facebook today and say, I went to church today and got fat. That's right. Amen. Praise the Lord. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Go to Psalm 67, just a few pages away. Just one more page in my Bible. Yes, 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 yes. So first of all, it has an effect on your mind. And I'll tell you what, we need greater mental health in this country. I mean, the statistics of people that are constantly, getting on, antidepressants and things like that. Now, if you need some, if you're on medication like that, I'm not telling you stop taking that. Don't. I'm just telling you there is another way that you can praise God and all of a sudden your body won't be in need of those medications anymore. God will fill you and he'll take care of it. Praise the Lord. Verse 5, Psalm 67, verse 5. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Well, what does that do? That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, that we enter into his courts with praise. Okay? We will be filled mentally, right, with his marrow and fatness, being filled to the point of being satisfied. And now it says, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Verse 6, then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Wow. So let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. What does praise do? Verse 6, then the earth shall yield increase, and our God shall bless us.
Yes.
I'm going to make somebody real mad right now, because guess what he's talking about here? He's talking about finances.
Yeah.
You didn't realize how praise affected your mental health, but do you realize how praise can help your financial health?
Absolutely.
Praise. Notice the ground you walk on is waiting to produce more harvest on your behalf when we praise.
Yes.
Glory to God. Notice there is two harvests mentioned in these scriptures. There is a harvest of finances. He said the earth will yield her increase. What he was talking about is in those days, the increase of God would fill their grain bins and, you know, their storehouses. You know, that was the main source of their economy then. It's still a good source of, you know, agriculture and things is a good source of the economy now. But it's talking about the economy. It's talking about finances. It's talking about material gain.
Yes.
No, do not take my words and say, well, that pastor down there said I'd get rich if I just praise God, so that's all I want is money. Well, then you've obviously taken it from the wrong heart. I'm saying as you praise God, the earth hears that.
Yeah, good.
A harvest of finances comes to those that will praise.
Yes.
Don't tell me that people with their whole heart that praise and thank God won't see greater opportunities in their job, greater promotions, greater opportunity, investments, increase, pay raises. That's right. Amen. The Bible says that the earth yields her increase. So now not only does it bless the peace of our mind, it blesses our financial situation as well.
That's right.
Glory to God. Thank you, Father, that he would give us this opportunity to praise him. He's God no matter what you say. But it sure helps us.
You
say, well, you made it sound like the only reason I praise God is to get money. Of course that's not what I'm saying. But aren't you glad that the peripheral benefit would cause opportunity? Doesn't, don't you want to bless your kids?
Yes.
Doesn't it bless a parent to see their grown children move into greater financial places in life? Sure it does. It sure does. Glory to God. Do you think God is at least as good as your natural parents? I would say so. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, even our God, shall bless us. He'll bless us. And now, look what he says in verse 7. Here's the second kind of harvest. It's a harvest of souls. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. When people see the blessing of God on your life, I'll tell you what, the Bible says that the people of the earth, they take notice. And the Bible says they reverence. It will lead them to reverence God. God wants a harvest of souls. But notice, before the harvest of souls, there's got to be a harvest of finances. People say, oh, it doesn't take money to reach people. Well, then you're deceived. Yes, it does. You think this church in Erie, you know, with all those souls that are going to be attached to that someday, do you think that that's going to be free? No. Do you think the equipment and the rental and the utilities and all the stuff that goes into that is going to be free? Of course it's not. There's got to be, we want the ends of the earth. We want to reach at least our ends of the earth. We're doing that. But there's going to be a harvest of finances that are going to need to come. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So notice the two harvests that are a result of praise. Harvest of finances, a harvest of souls. So now I think we understand maybe why people are vocal here. This is what we need to know and we need to understand. Go to Psalm 103. See, the book of Psalms is the book of praises. Praises that are inspired by the Holy Spirit, most of them through King and Prophet David.
Yes.
You know that David wasn't only a king. The Bible also says he was a messianic prophet.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah. This was written through a man by the Holy Ghost, the one that was called the man after God's heart.
Yes.
You want to find out what God likes. The book of Psalms is your book. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name, right? The fruit of our lips. Bless the Lord, bless him, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Wow, so what are the benefits of God? who forgives all your iniquities or sins. How many of you are glad today that God forgave all your iniquities? Praise the Lord. And now notice what else God does. Who heals all thy diseases. I don't, and you're going to see it is connected here in just a second. But I mean, he's saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless him. Meaning, you know, bless the Lord, praise him, glorify him, right? Praise the Lord. He says, and don't forget all of his benefits. Those benefits are directly connected to the bless, the praise, the blessing, you know, the praise that you're giving God, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases. So now we've seen praising affects your mind, it affects your finances, and now it affects the health of your body.
Yes.
Why? Let's keep on reading. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? The word destruction means death, sickness, illness, calamity, danger. God redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies.
Amen.
Who satisfies your mouth.
Yeah.
Let's say that again. God who satisfies your mouth with good things. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. Don't you think that that has something to do with physical strength?
Oh, yeah.
Physical health? Who redeems your life from destruction?
Yeah.
Crowns you with tender mercies and loving kindness?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because he's going to satisfy the praise that is coming out of your mouth. Meaning that God heard you. He heard you blessing the Lord. He heard you praising.
That's right.
He forgives your sins, heals your diseases,
yes.
Redeems your life from destruction, gives you new youth and health and vitality. Well, maybe some of you who you're in the process of thawing from the frozen chosen. You know what I mean? You're coming out of old-time religion and realizing, my goodness, there's actually a part I play here that so often we want God to respond, but he needs something to respond to.
Yes. That's good.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, our time is slipping away. There's two more places I want to take you. I had more, but go back to the book of Isaiah, or forward to the book of Isaiah, and go to chapter 57. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We're going to go to Isaiah 57 and verse 19 because I want to build off this point, that last scripture. Because so many of you are waiting for God to create new avenues in your life. Aren't you?
Yeah.
You need help. There's things that you're believing God for. You know? I mean, aren't these the things that we believe God all the time? Peace in our mind.
Yes.
Right? Health in our body. Help in our finances. Some of you, you need the earth to yield her increase to you. Yeah. You say, yeah, but Pastor, do I have to act like a charismaniac like you all do? Yes! There's not a label to it. It's the Bible. Oh, my goodness, I might have to actually do something that just makes me feel like a fool. That's right. Paul said, I'll be a fool for Christ's sake. Yep. Yep. Oh my goodness, my skin's going to crawl, my flesh is going to hate it, it's going to embarrass me. And well, if you're embarrassed, it's because you're in pride. Oh, see, this is where pride comes to die. I tell you what, pride is just being grilled when you dance for God. You know, or you shout praises and you respond, you know, and people see you and they hear you. Your pride is being barbecued. That's right. Isaiah 57 and verse 19, God says this. This is the Lord speaking. He says, I create the fruit of the lips. Notice what he says. Peace. Peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. Wow. I create the fruit of the lips. And it's not the fruit of his lips he's talking about. It's the fruit of your lips. Where is your harvest that you're waiting on? It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. It's in your words. It's in your response. It's in your joy. It's in your faith. Without this, Without joy, there is no faith.
Right.
Without responding, without rejoicing, there is no such thing as faith. You cannot say, I believe God, and then not rejoice.
Good word.
Pastor, I just need to see that in the scriptures. All right, I'm glad you said that. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Praise the Lord. There's power in this. There's power in this. I'll tell you what, when you bless God's heart, when you find the thing that means the most to Him, and He becomes worth it to you, He's worth it to me. My pride is not of greater value than Him. The opinions of man are not of greater value than Him. Listen, He was the one on the cross. He's the one that rose again. He's the one that has done everything for you. He's worth it. He's worth it. Well, I brought my new boyfriend to church today, and I don't want him to see me praising God like that. Well, then you don't want him. He thinks I'm weird, and so I'm gonna tone it down because I brought a family member to church today. I brought them, they already think the church is weird, but we finally got them to agree to show up. I hope Pastor Tim doesn't do anything weird today. Listen, there's a lot of people that have told me that. Oh, yeah, I know. What are we supposed to do, walk on eggshells? Listen, there's someone greater here than your family member. His name is Jesus. And don't you try to dictate how you think the harvest should be won. And there's some of you that you haven't invited people to your church here because you thought that we might embarrass them or they'll just think we're kooky and weird. Well, listen, I'll tell you what. We as a church have to decide, are we going to be like Jesus? The Bible says that He is either the chief cornerstone or the stumbling block. Every ministry that will walk in the ministry of Jesus will either be something that lives can be built upon or it'll crush them.
Yes, you're right.
There's a lot of people that come in here and think it's nuts and crazy and ugh. You know? Well, what was it? It became a stumbling block to them. Because somewhere along the line, they thought too strongly against the scriptures. And don't you think, God, please don't let there be any tongues today. No tongues and interpretation today. Oh my goodness, I hope the worship team doesn't start dancing today. Don't they know I have my relative here? Listen, we have to make sure that we reach the harvest God's way. We don't put people in front of God. You honor God, and He says, I'll make sure the people get blessed. Go over here. Here we go. Verse 8, 1 Peter 1:8. Here you go. Do you have faith? We're about to find out. Do you really, really believe? We're going to find out right here, verse 8. This is talking about, why don't we just start in verse 7? Why don't we start in verse 7? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Talk about your faith. He's talking about believing God, and that when Jesus appears, you want to be in the right kind of faith. Verse 8, he says, talk about Jesus, whom having not seen, you love. Isn't that true for us? I've never physically seen Jesus, so to speak. I had a vision when I was 18 years old, but that's not what it's talking about. Physically, we have not seen Jesus, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, boy, it'd be a lot easier if it just stopped right there. But no, it says, yet believing, what do believers do? You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. What do believers do? They rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Okay, now quiet down. All right, I'm going to give you a demonstration of what most churches think is, rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Okay, this is what the modern definition looks like. I'm rejoicing on the inside. Trust me. Believe me, it's in there. Does just, you know, I don't have, you know, here, give me this chair. This is what most people are doing. You know, they got a row of seats or a pew in front of them in church. And they hang right there. Praise him, Jesus, my blessed Redeemer. Hail him, ever in joyful song. Yeah, that's real joy. That's not joy unspeakable, full of glory. And I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just saying that's what I grew up in. And then you'll notice a little stand there. And then they might visit a church like this and, you know, praise the Lord. Someone takes a run off the platform. People are jumping and shouting. And all of a sudden you see this. And see, they're grabbing. See the white knuckles? And the indentations in the back of the chair? Oh, and if it was a wooden pew, I mean, there'd be like claw marks. What are you so scared of? You know? And say, well, Pastor, you seem to be diminishing. No, I'm not attacking people or denominations. We need good denominational churches. I'm attacking the idea and the thought of this dried up Christianity that is being promoted in America as if, and they're wondering why it has no power. And when that dried up, they jumped into another thing called easy believism. And so they said, well, that's not working. There's no power in that. Quick, everyone, let's get real casual. Let's try to be hip and cool, and let's have laser lights and smoke machines, and let's see if that works. And now that's not working. And they're wondering why those places are drying up. And they're wondering why no one's getting healed, blessed, or saved in those places. Because they've dried up in the area where God said the earth will yield her increase of souls, will increase, you know, in the move of the Spirit and things, because if you believe, you will believe, rejoicing with joy unspeakable, full of glory.
That's right. Amen.
Say, oh my goodness. And some of you are waiting for a feeling to do it.
Come on.
You don't notice it says believing, not feeling.
Yeah. There you go.
Say, oh man, I'm in church. I just don't feel like doing that. Didn't say how about feel. Here's a good rule. Watch the worship team. Watch my wife and I. Watch the leadership. Follow the platform. I'm going to tell you, if it's time to cut loose and dance or run or whatever, you know, I mean, when someone goes for a run, if it's me, if it's Reverend Tony, Pastor Brad, or somebody in leadership just decides to go for a run, well, jump on in. Don't let them run alone. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What does it look like when the church rejoices with joy unspeakable and full of glory? Come on now. And now look at verse 9. Look at the next words of verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith. Believing, rejoicing, receiving. How many of you want to receive from God? How many of you want to be a place where you can, I mean, you are a person that can receive the blessing and abundance, the peace of God, the joy of God? Because first you believed, but believing isn't believing until it's rejoicing.
That's right.
And then after the rejoicing, there's the receiving.
Amen.
I want to receive. Listen, if you're facing symptoms in your body or something the doctors have told you is an attack on your body, listen up. This is one way, if not one of the greatest ways, to receive from God the healing that you need in your body. All right? Sometimes, you know, we wonder, you know, we're believing, we're quoting scriptures. The whole time, though, we forget to rejoice. We didn't rejoice. We didn't respond in our rejoicing. You know what I mean? There is a story that a minister by the name of Lillian B. Yeomans, she was a medical doctor, actually, right around the turn of the century, over 100 years ago in the early 1900s. And she herself, she had become addicted to what we would call prescription drugs. They weren't so much, you know, they were a lot of experimental drugs and tonics and certain things back in those old days. And she had gotten addicted to this stuff. And she was miraculously delivered. She was a medical doctor turned minister. And she had a very powerful healing ministry. If you've never read her books, you know, especially the one Healing from Heaven, Lillian B. Yeomans, you need to read it. I mean, it's a short book, but wow, is it powerful. And she was telling the story of this woman missionary who was sent to China. And back then, I mean, we're talking early, you know, we're talking late 19th century, early 20th century. And, of course, you get into some of those places over there, and it was very uncivilized. You know, there was very little medical treatment and help, but yet there were a lot of diseases and things over there. And so this lady, this missionary, had spent time, you know, studying the word about healing and health and stuff. Well, she had gotten over there, and as she was ministering, she contracted smallpox. Now, smallpox were a bad, I mean, it was a very severe illness in those days. And she had gotten very, very ill. Her body was covered with those pox and, you know, very painful. They scar. You know, she had them all over her face and things like that. And as she was, you know, she was doing everything she knew to do. She knew some scriptures. She was quoting the scriptures. She was saying what she needed to say. And, you know, and still not getting any better, but actually growing worse. And she had a vision while she was over there in China. And she was in this, you know, really kind of archaic hospital, you know, nothing modern about it at all. She was in this rough place being treated by people that had no idea what they were doing. And she saw this vision, and she saw two baskets. And in the one basket was full, and the other basket was half full. And the Lord told her and said, the basket that is full is your trial. Your trial is filled to the top, but the other basket that is only half full is your praise. And the Lord said, when your praise fills that basket and overflows, it will tip. And she saw it on like a scale where the two baskets were hanging on a balance. Yes. And of course, the trial was heavier and was weighing it down. And then she said, just day and night from that moment, everyone in the hospital, the nurses, everyone that was tending to her, she just praised and praised and praised and praised and praised and praised. And she said she had another vision and saw that basket was full of praise. And she saw that thing tip and outweigh the trial. And it was that day, every pock, every bit of disease in her skin and in her blood completely left her. And I'm telling you, that is the case with so many. We can quote scriptures. We can memorize scriptures. We go to church. We use our faith, but we forget to praise and rejoice. And when your praise and your rejoice exceeds or outweighs your trial, that's when it's going to tip in your favor. And I'm telling you, if you're not praising in church when there's, you know, a bunch of Holy Ghost saints around you praising, I guarantee you, you're not doing it at home. Because this is where it's the easiest to praise. This is the easiest place because, you know, there's a lot of people that are willing to exercise what the word says here. There's a lot of people that are willing to respond. You're not alone. So people won't think you're the only crazy here. But you don't just leave it here. You take this home. You live this way. Oh, my goodness. Let us bring to God the sacrifice of praise continually in church. I mean, when you think, I mean, just whenever it just, I mean, jumps in your mind, I wake up first thing and I say, praise you, Father. Praise God. Praise the Lord, you know. I'll be down there rubbing my eye, getting my coffee, my Keurig. Chunk. Click. Praise you, Lord. Does my flesh feel like it? I'm not a morning person. I'm not. I mean, my goodness, I know it's noon, you know. I'm not even going yet, you know. I'm a night person. I can stay up all night and wait for the sun to come up if I let myself. But, you know, it's not about how you feel. It's not about what your flesh feels at that moment. You praise him anyway. Actually, I'll say this. That is when your praise is the most effective. When it's not motivated by any good feelings. When's your faith and your praise and your rejoice, when is it going to receive? When there's no feeling motivating it. Amen. Did you get some help here today? You want to get into the presence of God? Live there. Live there by praise. Live there by praise. You know, it fills your mind, heals your body, helps your finances, and it gives God what he wants most. He wants to hear from his kids.
Yes.
You know, we need to be a praising church. I mean, a praising church. No, not with this modernistic rock concert show. That's not praise. That's not praise. You understand, there is a counterfeit church movement across this land right now. I was talking to this man. I know you want to hear the story and you want me to keep you extra longer, so I will. I was talking to this gentleman last night, kind of later. I mean, it was probably about 10 o'clock last night. Gentleman from Texas. And he actually is used in the United States government. He developed some very, very big technology, very, very just useful, cutting-edge stuff. He developed a camera that can recognize faces. You know, you've ever heard of face recognition, security. Our government use it. You know, they use it around government buildings and stuff. Well, his camera that he developed can see in the dark. It could see and recognize someone's faces from 4 blocks away. So he works with the State Department for the United States, but he just was leaving today to go to a meet with the president of the Philippines. You know, so this gentleman has this real, and he's a Christian. Yeah, glory to God. And he was talking about how many units he's sold around the world. I mean, God is really blessing him. And he was talking about, a new church that he got a hold of. And he said, I know you're a pastor. He said, what's your take? He's like, my church, it's good. It's got a lot of good people. But there's no conviction in it anymore. He's like, everything is just so casual. You know, our music is just like a rock concert. It's like people are coming for the music. The preaching is like 15 minutes. It's like this little kind of happy-go-lucky message. He's like, I'm feeling grieved. He said, what am I facing here? And then he said it with his own words. He said, I feel like we've adopted this easy believism. I said, that is exactly what I call it. That's exactly what it is, you know, a place where comfort and convenience rules over, you know. He said, and we sit there and we listen. Realize that when we come to church, the music, yeah, it can minister to you. Yeah, it can help you. But you understand, we're supposed to be ministering to the Lord. We're not here to be entertained. We're not here to package it like a rock show. I mean, he said, we all stand there, and they praise and worship. I mean, the whole place should be praising and worshiping. I mean, hands should be lifted. I mean, from the front row to the back row, people are jumping, praising. I mean, from front to back, the place should be filled with praising. And yeah, there'll be people that'll come in and they won't understand it necessarily with their flesh, but they will understand it in their heart and say, there's something powerful about that. And they'll come in and they'll get hooked up and their lives will be changed because they'll find themselves in a place that emphasizes the presence of the Lord more than just sitting there in either the dried up religion or the rock concert. We are not going to be a part of that counterfeit movement. We're not here to just come and spectate. Every single one of us could do this. We can all put our flesh under, crucify the flesh, give God what, he wants most. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you today. We praise you.